Mr. Castillo, you deal in visual magic. I don't even understand how you manage the sand that you create pictures with for the audience as they are watching you. How do you do that?
Well, that is very gracious of you to call it visual magic. It really came about from a history of having done forms of artwork that lend themselves to rather quick and freehand reproduction of images. Things like airbrushing t-shirts and courtroom drawings and cartoons on the beach, that sort of thing. So even though there was a tremendous amount of work figuring out how to make it visible for the audience, it was something that I had been working on sort of subliminally since I was a boy.
I've watched American Indians do sand paintings, but theirs are iconic and static, while you're dealing with moving grains. And tell me how you get the inspiration to create what you do in front of an audience. How does that happen?
I was in advertising for almost 20 years and wound up selling my business and going back to school, and I went to seminary. And then when I graduated, I pastored a church. And so in the process of pastoring a church, I wanted to incorporate the visuals. I had seen how important visuals were during my advertising years. And so in telling Bible stories, I wanted to illustrate them in a way people would remember. And so I started out doing magic marker drawings and speed painting and sculpture and things that I could project up on a screen. And after 5 years, I was running out of ideas. So I started tinkering in sand, and it wound up becoming really the most fascinating media that I'd ever worked with.
I've also seen cultures where sand drawings in many colors are done on the ground, the sidewalks perhaps, intense circle designs that are then whisked away after being done. Do you ever want to just hold on to an image? I should imagine once one's done, you're a little loath to scatter it.
I am, particularly every now and then when the sand and the movement and the music come together just right. I think, boy, that would be a fabulous one to keep. But part of the magic, as you alluded to earlier, is the fact that it's transitory. And you enjoy it, and you see it briefly, and then it's gone. And I think that's part of the beauty of the sand art of the Tibetan monks and the Pueblo Indians and others in Egypt that have done art with sand down through the years, is that it is so temporary. And so we enjoy it briefly for a time, and then it's gone.
You say that audience response to what you do is quite touching.
I think that's probably the hardest thing to be able to explain, particularly to somebody who's never seen a performance, in that what becomes engaged is the imagination. The moment that the audience realizes that I'm drawing something, their imagination kicks in, and they want to know what it is that's going to come next. And so being able to create an image and then very quickly morph it from one image to the next is the way that the story can proceed. But by that time, the audience is so engaged that you really can touch the emotions in a way that I have never seen before. It's really a powerful art form.
Do people in the audience speak to you while you're working, or is it afterwards that you get such response?
While I'm actually performing, I have never experienced, even though I spoke for a long time, I've been a public speaker for many, many years and then spent about 5 years pastoring, but I've never had the level of concentration and silence during the performance in anything else that I've ever done. People really do engage to the point where there's just absolute silence, even with an audience of many different generations. And so it's only afterward that I talk to people, and they tell me of the emotions that they felt and the tears that were shed. And it's a very gratifying way of telling stories.
Describe the setup of how you work on stage.
I have what really looks sort of deceptively simple. I have a table with light underneath it and a digital camera directly overhead, and it's plugged into a projector that projects the image and my hands up on a large screen. I then have a music track that I play from the table that changes the colors, the lights underneath the table. And so as the music begins, then my hands are choreographed to the tempo and the beat of the music and tell the story. And the music goes along with the images so that it becomes very much like watching a movie, except for the fact that it's happening live on stage.
Would you tell me what stories you told in Sand as a finalist for America's Got Talent?
I started out, the very first one was a story that I put together for Lee Greenwood's song, God Bless the USA, where I start out with a young man and a woman and a flag, and then turn the young man and woman into soldiers, and then transform the man into the Statue of Liberty. And it's one of the pieces that I still perform quite a bit. I went on to do a song by Michael Bublé that's called Feeling Good, but it's actually a song about freedom. And it was written for a stage play in the UK called The Smell of the Crowd and the Roar of the Grease Paint back in the 50s. And the song is the song of a slave who has been set free. And so the images, it starts out talking about birds flying high, you know how I feel, sun in the sky, you know how I feel, breeze blowing on by. And then at the end, he sings about freedom. And so that was just a real powerful one, showing a man in chains, and then the chains are broken and he's set free. The third one was one on the importance of caring for the planet. And so I did a series of animals that each one I wound up destroying with the sand, and then at the end finished with the tearful eye of God because of the damage that we've done to the planet. And then the fourth one was I picked up a song going all the way back to the 60s by a group called the Young Bloods called Come On People Now, Smile On Your Brother, Everybody Get Together and Love One Another Right Now. And it dealt with just the conflict between people and races and religions and how we should take the time to love each other.
Not a dry eye in the house. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Mexico City. My parents were both artists, so I was surrounded by an art culture. I was taken to art museums a lot as a child, and found that my parents were not only artists, but they were storytellers. And so storytelling became a big part of my art. I even started writing my own comic books, spent a lot of time telling stories through artwork.
Have your parents been able to see your sand work?
My father passed away when I was still young. I was 15. And so he unfortunately was not. But my mother, interestingly enough, was in attendance at the very first real Sand Story performance. And it was one of those experiences that she still talks about with great enthusiasm and passion, because it was one of those kind of defining moments, an audience of about 300 people, and literally, you know, you said not a dry in the place. I think that was probably true of that event, a very powerful performance.
You know, I wondered if you were a surprise to your parents, but it sounds like you're a continuation.
That's right. I'm just sort of a chip off the old block.
Well, Mr. Castillo, thank you so much for speaking with me this morning. I appreciate your time.
Well, you're quite welcome. Thank you so much for calling.